Roy, and we'll try to use both of them maybe just for a few minutes this morning. We've been talking on Wednesday night, for you that hadn't been here, about raising children. How many of you folks in here are is a parent? Raise your hand, please, if you're a parent. Well, that's just about all of us here this morning. And there's never been a harder time to raise children than this day, the time that we're living in. There's so much against you. So much against you as a parent, against the home, the family, the church. It seems like the whole world is against our family. And when you hear these people get on the radio, and like Dr. James Dobson and all these people, and they're talking about family values and stuff, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about, we believe in the traditional biblical definition of a family. We believe a family consists of a mother and a dad and children. We believe that a marriage is a man and a woman. And we believe in all that. That's what they call family values. And that it's the parents' job to raise the children. Not the state, not the government, but the parents' job. Those are what we call family values. And it's never been harder. It's absolutely never been a tougher time to trial than it is now. I'm telling you, as soon as your child goes out that door, the world, for the most part, the influence of school, not all of it, but for the most part, their friends, the movies, the music, everything they hear when they go out there is against what they're taught at home and about the Lord and the Bible. It really, really is. And I don't say that because I'm just some old negative thinking. Just look at the world. The girls and boys are encouraged by the world to do whatever they want to do. I was somewhere yesterday, and I'm trying to think of where this was. Maybe it's Friday. I think I went to the steakhouse. Went to steakhouse Friday evening. That's right. I went to steakhouse Friday evening, and there was a song playing. I don't know if it, I think it was sort of about high country, high pop sort of a song. And it was a girl singing. I have no idea who it was, but it sounded a real catchy song. And this girl was singing over and over and over. Don't let nobody tell you what to do. Don't let nobody shape your beliefs. Don't let. And I thought, well, you're trying to tell them what to do. Shut up then. But what they're saying is, don't listen to nobody but us. And your kids and my kids are being bombarded with that message. As soon as they go out in this world, don't let nobody tell you what to do. Don't let the preacher. Don't let your parents. Don't let nobody force their beliefs. That's what our kids are hearing. And so, we job, folks. If you're a parent here today, you have a job and a half. You have a task. And your task is to get enough of God in your children at home and church that they can withstand all that they're going to catch when they get out in school and out in the workplace, and especially college. College is one of the most corrupt places in the whole world today, because they are taught against the Word of God. They're taught evolution. They're taught there is no such thing as absolutes, which means the Bible's not true. I mean, they teach that in little colleges. The first thing they'll learn in most little colleges is there is no such thing as absolute truth. That, you know, truth is relative. That what was true for a generation ago to them may not be true for us now. And what that means is there's no such thing as absolute truth. Something that's absolute truth is right for anybody, any time, any place, any age, and any circumstance. Relative truth is whatever you feel like is right for you at a certain time. And of course, me and you as Bible believers, we believe that's a bunch of junk. We believe that the Bible is absolute truth. That it was wrong to tell a lie 100 years ago, still wrong to tell a lie now. It's absolute. It's absolute. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these are two completely different belief systems and philosophies. And your child, as soon as they get in a school, and especially if they go to college, they are going to be hit in the face with the belief system that truth is relative. I don't know if you've ever heard of Adoniram Judson. How many of you have ever heard the name Adoniram Judson? He's a great missionary, one of the first missionaries in our country ever sent out to Burma. And Adoniram Judson, when he was growing up, his daddy was a preacher. I think he grew up around Boston, Massachusetts. And his daddy was a preacher, strong man of God. His mother was a praying woman. And I'm going to tell you how much influence you as a parent can have on your child. Well, he grew up, and at 16, you couldn't do it then, 16, graduated high school with honors, valedictorian in his class, and he went straight into college, one of the big colleges on the East, big secular university. And as soon as he got to this university, he met this fella, and he became friends with this man, and I'll give his name here, I got it down here. This boy's name was Ames, I believe it was. This boy was wicked. He was an infidel. Jacob Ames was his name. And this was in the 1700s, people. This was in the 1700s. And Jacob Ames became friends with Adoniram Judson. And Adoniram Judson began to listen to this man, Jacob Ames, and he said, I'm an atheist. He told him about works of Voltaire and the Greek philosophers. You know, you've heard of all the old Greek philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. One old country preacher got up one Sunday and he said, them old crazy Greek philosophers, old Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates. But he had told him about them. He told him about them. And so Adoniram Judson begin to think, well, you know what? This guy's smart. He's educated. Maybe he's right. So he went home and told his parents. He said, I'm going to be an atheist. Jacob Ames is my friend, and he's cool, and I'm going to be an atheist. And his mama broke down in sobs, and his daddy was a preacher and took his fist and pounded the furniture like that. And said, my son's an atheist, and they kept praying for him. Well, he left home and decided he was going out west. And listen to this story. He on a horse, of course, you know, in the 1700s, and he got on his horse and headed out west to live life and be an atheist and just experience all this work he could experience. And he got real tired driving one night and stopped at a motel, an inn, they called it in them days, and he got him a room in the inn, and the man running the place said, we've only got one room left. And he said, I'll let you have this room, but he said, I got to tell you, he said, there's a sick man dying in the room right beside you. And he said, there may be some noise tonight. He said, I don't care. I'm so sleepy. I don't care how bad it is. And so he went ahead and paid for the room, went in and checked in his room, and sure enough, he could hear terrible groans. He could hear somebody moaning and groaning and chairs scuffling around in the room. He could hear people crying. And it bothered him. He heard noises. Things banged up against the wall. And chairs scooting back and forth. Just awful moans and sounds all night long. Well, the next morning he got up to check out, and when he checked out, he told the man, he said, boy, that was a pretty rough night. He said, what happened to that guy? And the man running the motel said, the young man died. He died early this morning. And he said, really? He said, he was just a young man. He's about your age. He went to one of that big brown university out east. His name was Jacob Ames. And boy, that hit him like a Jacob. That was his buddy. That was his friend that taught him to be an atheist. And it so shocked him, he thought, I wonder what Jacob Ames is saying now about illness and suffering and death. I wonder if there is a hereafter. I wonder if there is something more. And mama's prayers kicked in right at that. And he turned around and rode that horse back home and told him what happened. And his mama said, she said, son, I've been up all night praying for you. She said, God burden me. And Adoniram Judson got down and got saved. And God called him to preach. And I'll tell you more about him later, maybe in the preaching service this morning. But Adoniram Judson became a great missionary to Burma. And every bit of it happened because his mom and dad believed in God and taught him right. And when he hit crises, he turned to God. Now, some people, when they hit a place like that, they just turn and get wickeder and wickeder and wickeder. That's because they didn't have a mama at home. How many mothers we have in here this morning? Would you raise your hand, please? There's a lot of you in here that are mothers. Let me tell you something. You mothers, listen to me a second. Let me tell you something. You can't do anything in the world greater than instill the truths of God's Word and put the Spirit of the Lord and the fear of the Lord in your kid's heart. You can't do anything greater than that. I don't care if you've got a job making $100 a minute. You can't do anything greater than put the Lord and the fear of God and the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ in your kid's heart. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. You mothers in here this morning, you cannot do anything greater than put the fear of God in your kid's heart. You can't. I don't care how much money you make. And I know some of you have to work to pay the bills. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies. While your kids are little, the best thing you can possibly do is stay home with them and teach them God's Word and teach them that Bible. There's nothing that'll do them any more good. You say, well, I want to save up for them to go to college. I want to give them nice things. You'd be better off to be broke and your kids turn out living for God than you would be. Some people depend on the state, or they depend on the babysitter, or they depend on that. You can't do anything any greater than put God's Word in your kid's heart. You can't do anything greater. I don't care if they called you from Hollywood, said, I want you to star in a movie. We fired Julia Roberts and called you. You'd be better off to stay at home with your child and teach them about Jesus Christ. Now, I know some of you don't think like that. And the reason why is because you've been brainwashed by this world. But I'm going to tell you something. Adoniram Judson became the first missionary in America. And the reason he did was because his mama literally prayed him in. Now, I'm going to talk about some things this morning about raising kids. And you can feel free to ask questions, interrupt me, add, comment, whatever you want to do during this time. There's some things we need to do. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, and let me show you verse number 4 this morning. The Bible said here, Ephesians 6, 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You see it? Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, that verse says that we as parents ought to raise our children to fear God. Parents, you can't do anything greater than put the fear of God in your children's heart. There's lots of ways you put the fear of God in a kid's heart. One way is by disciplining them. And if there's anything this generation knows nothing about, it's how to correctly, biblically discipline a child. The Bible talks about child discipline. This stuff about violence breeds violence. And if you spank a child, when it'll teach them to grow up and hit people, that's a bunch of bull. If you spank a child properly, according to the Bible, when they're little, it'll teach them to grow up and respect other people. If you let a kid run wild, and I've seen kids, I heard kids cuss their parents. Man, I'm telling you, if I'd have cussed my daddy, I wouldn't be standing here today talking to you. God. You know, my daddy's from West Virginia, and he wasn't even saved. He would have knocked me in the next week. I scared to make my daddy mad. Kids nowadays just walk up and they'll say, "Man, shut up. You ain't going to tell me what to do." If I'd have told my daddy to shut up, what would y'all's daddy done if you had told him to shut up? Whoa, that would have been the last words you ever spoke. You just don't talk to your daddy like that. And something's wrong with this generation that we got coming. These little brats nowadays, they need the pure devil beat out of them. They say, well, I took them to the doctor and they diagnosed them as being hyperactive. Well, I got the medicine for that. Listen, you ain't never seen a kid no more high than this one right here. I mean, look at me now as old as I am. You ought to see me when I was 6. Woo! I was climbing the walls. You ain't never seen no kid no more. I could not be still. I could not be still. I still can't. I could not be still. But buddy, I went to school. I'm telling you, man. I'm at the Methodist Church. I've had ladies tell me. They said I can't come to church because my kid won't be still. Oh, yeah. There's ways to make them be still. There's plenty of ways, man. But he's different. No, he's not different. You're different. He's not different. You are. Give him one of these old fashioned mamas for a week or two. I mean, they'll beat that hyper right out of them. And I'm not talking about child abuse. You know, anybody that abuses a child ought to be put in jail. properly, scripturally discipline a child will not hurt them. Man, I'm telling you, one time Mom took me out. We went to a little Methodist church up in Marion, and Mom took me outside, and there's a big boxwood. Y'all know what a boxwood is? Big old bush, and she'd break a limb off of that boxwood, and I mean just wear me, put stripes on my leg, and that'll make them straighten up. You say, oh, that's child abuse. No, it ain't. I'll tell you what's child abuse. Letting a kid grow up thinking it can get away with murder. Because it can't. It can't. Unless his name's Jay. But anyway, most people can't get away with murder. Amen. They just can't do it. I'm telling you, there's got to be some discipline. You are doing your kid wrong if you'll not. And I'm going to tell you something else. The wrong time to discipline your kid is when you lose your temper. Now, we're studying this on Wednesday night. So you be here Wednesday night, and we're going to talk about how to raise children. Some parents, especially ladies, the only time they ever discipline a child is when they just lose their temper and get mad at them. Now, that's not the way to do. That ain't no way to discipline a child. It's like they can do. In other words, this. Let's just say you told a kid not to touch the microphone. Don't touch that microphone. And you're sitting over here like this, and you're laughing and cutting up. He's touching. I told you not to do that. Touch the microphone. I told you not to leave that alone. You know. And then all of a sudden, the kid drops and knocks it down. Then they get up. I told you not to do it. Like that, and just lose their temper. Now, somebody tell me what's wrong with that. You know what's wrong with it. You know what's wrong with that. If the only time you ever whip your kids is when you lose your temper, you are a terrible parent. And the reason I'm telling you that is because they don't know what's whenever you're going to lose it. See, if you tell him you can't have chocolate in the living room, and you can't have your chocolate milk in the living room, but you just go ahead and laugh and cut up and watch TV, then when he spills it, you whip him. You know what you're whipping him for? An accident, something he couldn't help. Right? And that right? You ain't supposed to whip somebody for something that they can't help. Everybody has accidents. You spilt that. I told you not to. Now look, what you should whip him for is bringing it in the living room if you told him not to, whether he spills it or not. But if you just get mad and whip him because he spills it, that's saying it's all right to bring it in here as long as I don't make a mistake and spill it. Do y'all understand that? Can anybody understand? Do you understand the difference? Now, if he ain't supposed to bring chocolate milk in the living room, you know, me as a parent, I tried it both ways. I always told the girls, you can't eat in the living room. Then I'd say, well, I let it go, you know. And we do anyway. But they always wind up eating in the living room. My sister got me a brand new couch because she works at Ethan Allen. Brand new. About $1,000 couch. And one of my daughters, I won't say which one, but it ain't the oldest one or the middle one. And took a grilled cheese on a napkin, ate it on that leather couch. And the grease went right through the napkin and it ruined that couch. Ruined a big old greasy spot. And I got soap and put ivory liquid on it and scrubbed it, and it just spread it out about that big. I scrubbed it and scrubbed it. I thought you can't get grease out of leather like that. It ruined it. It was light green. It's ruined. It's ruined to this day. We have to keep a blanket on it. Now, did I whip her for that? Yes, I sure did. No, I didn't. Because I let them bring food in there. It ain't my fault it ain't her fault that her daddy's so dumb he'd let her bring food in there. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times we just whip kids when they mess up. I don't know if y'all understand what I'm trying to say. If you tell him he can't bring the chocolate milk in the living room and he does it, then give it to him. Not just when he spills it. Are you whipping him for spilling it? Or are you whipping him for bringing it in there? Okay, well then tell him that. You can bring it in here, but if you spill it, I'll whip you. Well, you can't save somebody. Have you ever spilled anything? Yes, sir, I have. Hadn't you went to reach and get the salt and knocked your drink over? Oh, my God. Would you want somebody going, pow, hitting you like that? Man, I didn't mean to. An accident ain't wrong. It ain't wrong to have an accident. Now, how many of you parents have gone in there and say, all right, You bring it in. I told you not to bring that in there. If you spill that, I'll wear you out. What do you think he's going to do? Just knock it over? If he does, it's an accident. I've always thought that on the way to do a kid. I've always thought that. I've always thought it's wrong to whip them for something they can't help. Now, if you're going to spank him for bringing it in there. Anybody give me an example? Okay. Got that down pat. And I think you ought to... Now, my daddy wasn't saved. And I've told you before about that time. I always want to... You know what I want for my birthday? My birthday's this week. You know what I want? A cigarette lighter. It's what I've always wanted. And even though I've never smoked, I don't want one now. I got several of them at the house. I buy them 3 for $1, light candles with and stuff. But I thought the cigarette lighter was the coolest thing in the world when I was little. When I was about 5 years old, all I wanted was a cigarette lighter. I just thought it was so neat you could mash a button and fire would come out. And I love to set fires. I still love. Man, I love to set stuff on fire. I still do. Literally and spiritually, I'll start fires. I'm telling you, I've had the fire department called on me several times up there at my house. And, you know, we'd set the woods on fire, but I didn't mean to. But I just like to burn stuff. Don't y'all? Is there anybody else like to do that? Just get a pile of stuff and set it on fire? Man, I love to do that. And I want a cigarette lighter. Well, they bought me one, a little square yellow cigarette lighter. And I built a little fire in our basement at the house in Clinchfield. And I had me a little fire going down there. And boy, my mom smelled it. And she took that thing away from me. And she said, I'm telling your daddy, when he gets home, daddy worked all the time. And I was in the bed asleep. Fast asleep. I mean, not bothering nobody. And all of a sudden, I don't know what time it was, 11:30, 2 o'clock at night, the light came on like this. I felt something grab my leg right here. And he just grabbed my leg like that and started beating the devil out of me. Held me up. I was going, ah! I mean, I don't even know what he's hitting me for. I done forgot about that. Now, that ain't the right way to do. That ain't the right way to do. But I tell you something, I never set another fire in the house. I guarantee you I never did it again. I scared him. But now that's not the right way to do a kid. You're not supposed to jerk him up out of a dead sleep to beat them. He come in, Mom said, Danny about burnt the house down. Jennifer, boy, he was mad. I'm telling you. Daddy used to, when my sisters had boyfriends come over. And when they started getting old, I was like 13, and I liked it when my sister's boyfriends came over because I had somebody to play ball with. And I'd make them play ball. One day, my oldest sister, Sandy, her boyfriend, Jerry, was there. Maybe y'all know Jerry, her husband. And she was down there playing ball with us, and there was these boys from high school down there playing ball. Jerry got real mad. He was jealous. And here's the pouty boyfriend came and sat up in the front yard. Here's what a boyfriend does. And he thinks she's supposed to just quit playing ball and run up there and see him. Well, she just kept playing. Because y'all know my sister Sandy, she was just real. She loved everybody. And she, you know, Sandy had a lot of friends. She knew everybody, Marion. Everybody knew her. And she was real happy-go-lucky and knew everybody. She just kept playing ball and let him sit up there. Well, the longer he sat up there, the madder he got. He just like, sure, I'm sitting up here, come see you. And here you down there playing ball, them boys flirting. And he thought she should just drop. Well, she thought, well, you want to see me? Here I am. Come down here and play ball with us. So neither one of them would give in. Well, anyway, he got mad, and they went in the house and started fussing. And Jerry, boy, he took his fist and hit the wall like that and busted the sheetrock. And boy, when my daddy come home, Mom, he said, who busted that hole in that sheetrock? She said, Jerry did with his fist. And my daddy made him get paint and sheetrock and patch that place. He's up there for days working on that, painting the wall. Like that, which y'all do, which I got a few things around my house need to be fixed. But some boys sitting here this morning, they wasn't butting their fists through the wall. They was just fighting each other. And broke my closet door and for a few things. They're going to be doing some work real soon. But anyway, They blamed it on one boy that wasn't ain't even there. They blamed it on Michael. If we just let kids run over us, I mean, you know, and let me say this. I'm sort of scattered this morning. I got a whole bunch I need to talk about, but I'm sort of scattered off. But we need to realize that every one of our kids are different, right? I've heard people say, boy, if that was my kid, I'd do this and that. Well, everybody's kids ain't like yours. And I've got girls. I've been very blessed with girls. I know boys are a lot harder than girls. Would y'all say me that? Most people would say that because boys are, you know, they're a lot more rambunctious and into things, you know, and everything. They say that girls are littler, are harder to raise when they're little and harder when they're big. And then they start, you know, going out and dating and stuff. But we need to understand that every kid is different. And every kid is not tempered like the other kid. It's just like me pastoring this church. In pastoring this church, I learned that everybody in here is different. Some people can take more pressure than others. There's people in here that I can just go say, I need you to do this, 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 that, and just lay a big load on them, and they can handle it. There's other people, if I did that, they'd flip out and quit. There's some people in here that if they were sick in the hospital, I can call them and say, look, I'm gone in revival. I'm sorry I can't be there. And they'd get mad and quit church over it. There's other people that would say, Brother Danny, I understand you do what you need to do. Da, 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 da. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. And your kids are all different. If there's anybody in here with two kids, 9 times out of 10, they're as different as daylight and dark. One of them's real calm and relaxed and everything, and one of them just wild as a buck. And sometimes people think, are they really mine? You know, that's how different two kids can be. Two sisters or two brothers or brother and sister. One of them will be just calm and easy going, and other than just crazy. And you thought, Lord, I done good with that, and what happened to this? And every kid is different. God made them that way. God made kids different. God made us different. And so we need to understand that. All three of my girls are alike in a lot of ways, and they're very different in other ways. And sometimes they're getting grown before you even realize that. I've told you about Corey before. When she was little, she used to ask lots of questions. And we as parents, you have to be careful that you don't let them get on your nerves. Somebody told me about a parent the other day that said, you want one of these kids? Here, take them. And this person answered, yeah, I'll take one. Said, you bring it back in about an hour. Isn't that some way to talk about your kids right in front of them? God, if you had this thing to raise, you wouldn't keep it either. That's no way for your kids to hear you talk. If your kids hear you saying, Lord, I wish I didn't. Why'd I ever have you? Oh, my goodness, you couldn't be mine. They must have made a mistake at the hospital. You know, something like that. Lord, have mercy, people. That ain't no way to let your kids talk. They're going to grow up their whole life my goodness, I'm no good. I'm a failure. You know what some people tell their kids? Some people tell their kids, you ain't no good. You ain't never going to amount to nothing. Have you ever heard anybody talk like that? I believe somebody in here, I believe it's brother, didn't you tell us that? I figured you wasn't paying attention back there. No talking back there. Don't let anybody sit on that table or lean up against the wall. He wasn't even paying attention. You was going to get a blessing right there. But you know what a lot of people tell their kids? A lot of people tell their kids, you're no good. You're going to turn out just like your daddy. You'll never amount to nothing. He's a loser. You're a loser. You know, he went to prison. You'll go to prison just like him. Well, what's a kid going to think growing up like that? All their life they're going to think, well, Mama said I was no good. Mama said I'd never amount to nothing. Mama, no. I'm not a positive thinker. And I don't think everybody should be all positive all the time. But you got to tell a kid, you know what? You're special. God loves you. I love you. You can do whatever God wants you to do. You can be whatever God wants you to be. You're smart. And you can find something good to say about them. If they're wild as a buck, you can say, you've got a lot of energy. You know? Use that for the Lord. Like Corey, she used to ask all kinds of questions. And she'd always say, Daddy, why is it? Because. Daddy, why did it? I'd say, because. Daddy,
Why does this? And you're coming to y'all like that? And after a while, you think, oh. And it's on and on and on and on and on and on. And Daddy, why is the mountains high, you know? Why do trees have leaves, you know? Why does it get cold in wintertime? Why does do we have to cook food before we eat it? Why does we have to wear, you know, what are shoes made out of? I mean, you know, where that light, why does a light bulb get hot when you touch it? I mean, why do we have mailboxes? You know, God, it's on and on. And you keep one about that high, they'll drive you crazy. So one day she just kept on and 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 on. Daddy, why this call? Daddy, why this call? Daddy, why this? I could feel myself getting aggravated. She said, Daddy. I said, what? She said, why do I ask so many questions? I have no idea. I have no clue in this world. But you know what? We as parents, we got to realize that when... Hey, listen to me. When you're a parent, it ain't just you no more. You can't just say, well, I'm going to live my life for myself. These kids are getting on my nerves. Brother, if God's given you, you have a responsibility to raise that child. It ain't can't just be you. By the way, that's the reason a lot of people don't want kids. They don't want kids because they don't want no responsibility. They want to live, be a teenager their whole life. And it's... bunch of firecrackers, and we had these cherry bombs. They're about that. They look like a cherry with a fuse sticking out of it, and they're a lot more powerful than a firecracker. A lot. Whole lot more. They're probably like 20 firecrackers. I mean, they'll do some damage. If you put a firecracker go off your finger, it would numb your fingers and burn you and everything, but a cherry bomb would hurt you. And I had one down in the basement, and Daddy remodeled our basement. And I have my bedroom downstairs because I got a bedroom by myself finally. And my sisters had one over there, and we had like a little den, and that's where I had band practice. We had all our band equipment set up down there and TV and everything. So we played downstairs every night when I was 11, 12, 13. And one time my sister was sitting over here doing her homework. My other sister, Debbie, all she ever did was homework. She was such a nerd to us, you know, because she wanted to make straight A's and go to school, never missed a day of school. And she was perfect in school. And me and my other sister, Sandy, we didn't take it that serious. But she was sitting doing her homework. And I was fooling around with this cherry bomb. And I had another cigarette lighter. And I kept just doing it like that, doing it like that, doing it like that, trying to touch that fire like that. And I held it there too long, and that fuse lit. It went shh. And I went like that, you know, and it wouldn't quit. And I went, you can't stop a fuse after it's lit like that. On them things. And I threw it like that, and it was getting closer and closer and closer, going to blow my, and I threw it like that. Right? And she was sitting right here, and in between me and her, in midair, that thing blew up. Boom! It sounded like somebody shot a shotgun in the basement. Oh, my soul, did I get in trouble for that. Did I ever get in trouble for that. I'm telling you, if I'd held that thing a half a second, it went off. You know, or a second earlier, it would have hit her and went off in her hair. But I got in trouble for that. I done a lot of stupid things like that when I was little growing up, and I got disciplined for it too. I really did. But how many of you would agree with me? I never got as many whippings as I really deserved. Raise your hand. Okay. Now listen, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. I forgot who somebody told me the other day. Oh, I know who it was. I won't name no names. I won't name no names. There's a lady that goes to our church, says she's never had a whipping and never needed one. I'm not going to name no names. She's sitting here, the guy who leads our singing. I'm not going to call no names. This woman says she's never needed a whipping. Let's ask him about that, see what he said. She never got up in growing up, and Jason's been paying for it ever since. Amen. Amen. No, but seriously, I told her, I said, there ain't never been a kid that didn't need a whipping except Jesus. Now, some get the message early, and you don't have to whip them past 6, 7 years old, and they really do get them, especially girls. But boy, I tell you, some boys, they need it every day. Give them one every day, even if you don't catch them. They done something you don't know about. Amen. Anybody say anything on that right there? You did what, bro? I'm sure you did. Look at you all ready to go to the wedding today. Oh my goodness. What he's whipped with, a leather strap? That's what they used to whip him with. Straw. So go in there and get me that straw. You ever heard it like that? Piece of leather about that thick and about that wide? Buddy. So you're the guy who set them fires out in California that burned all them houses down. I saw that on the news. You know, they said that fire was deliberately set. Have y'all heard that? And there's been like 4 or 5 men died and everything. Some little brat, like little Castle, had something out there or throwed a cigarette out deliberately and set that fire. That's bad. That's bad, boy. All right, anybody else? We're about time to go. Who else never got a whipping and you didn't deserve one? Brother Ray? Yeah, they start confessing up. When they get about 25, they start confessing, well, I did this and you never... I will tell you right now, here they are. Here's one of them right here. It's not too late, Brother Ray. You can take her right here in my office right after we get through here this morning. That brought up a good point. How old is a kid before you get through discipline? Anybody who lives in your house, you're responsible for as a man of the house. They live in your house. I don't care if you ain't married. If she lives in your house, you are responsible for her. I don't think you'll turn Aunt Mary over your knee. But if she won't, she's supposed to do what you say if she lives in your house. I wouldn't let somebody live in my house and say, you ain't going to tell me nothing. I'll go and come as I please. I'll do what I want to. Like what old Jack Wood used to say, the old cowboy preacher from Texas. He said, if you live in Jack Wood house and eat Jack Wood food, you're going to do what Jack Wood says. And that's the truth. That's the way it ought to be. Amen? All right. We're going to have to stop. We've got to have a little break for a preaching service. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a parent in 2006. We know it's never been harder. We know our task has never been greater. We know the temptation of this world has never been stronger for our children. But I pray that you'd help us, help me, help all of us to be better fathers, better mothers, better parents, to instill in our children the things that are right. And oh God, when they're old, they won't depart from it. Have your way in our hearts this morning. Bless the preaching service. Do what ought to be done. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.